I guess I could call it the grace of God that you invited me back. But for those who might not know, I'm Jerry Graham, Pastor Jerry Graham, in who Christ dwells and delights. And I live with Christ in his unshakable kingdom. Praise God. Good morning. Well, let's get a smile. Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be back this morning after sharing with you a couple of weeks ago. It's always good to share in God's glory and the people of his kingdom. He's an awesome God who blesses us abundantly and without limits. Loving God, loving people, and living it is our call as we serve him in this wonderful kingdom. I'll never let that saying go away. Loving God, loving people, and living for him. Well, this morning I'm going to share about the concept of grace. Leanne did a super job of getting grace wound into the service this morning. It's a very common thing that we talk about. In my retirement, I have spent a lot of time reading books. Max Lucado, Philip Yancey, Bill Hybels. I love biographies about presidents, although I haven't read much lately. But I have enjoyed reading. And in listening to God as to the direction of this message, which I said was always, I said last time, is always the hard thing to do, is come up, what is the message that God is inspiring me to do? Well, this time, I read a book by Philip Yancey, and maybe some of you have read it too. What's So Amazing About Grace? Perhaps some of you have read this book. Excellent book. I would recommend it highly. It's about the grace that God provides for us, for me, for you, for everyone. And that's probably where we get hung up on about it, because it is for everyone. It provoked many thoughtful and challenging questions that all of us will probably wrestle with our whole lives on a daily basis. No matter how long we've been a Christian and how long we've grown, we'll probably wrestle with some of those questions. So what is grace? Grace means there is nothing I can do to make God love me more, or anything I can do to make God love me less. I may disappoint, I may do good things, I may do a lot of things, but God always loves me without fail. It means that I, who deserve the opposite, I'm invited to a place at his table. Praise God. Too many of us have allowed critics to shape us instead of allowing God to mold us. We will often take something that's negative said about ourselves, and it will cause us not to sleep. It'll cause us to stir. It'll cause us to talk to people about it. And it's not the critics that we live for, it's God. And everything that we live through, God wants to mold us and to make us into the person that he wants you to be. I think all of us live with a code of rules that govern our life on a daily basis. We are bound by what we feel we should do and the things we should not do. We strive to prove ourselves that we are deserving of God's love. We become somewhat legalistic. I think we all do this. And sometimes we miss the whole point of the gospel, that Jesus loves us and gave us his grace. From nursery school onward, We are taught how to live in a world of ungrace. The early bird gets the worm. No pain, no gain. Where's Brennan when I need him? There is no such thing as a free lunch. Have you heard that one? Demand your rights. Get what you pay for. We know these rules because we live by them. I work for what I earn. I like to win. I insist on my rights. I want people to get what they deserve. Nothing more, nothing less. That's our cold. And our culture that we live in, with our culture, you can hear us saying that. He didn't get what he deserved. We should hang him. We should do whatever. But they are all God's people, to those who believe. Grace is a gift from God to people who don't deserve it. Grace teaches us that love, that God loves us because of who he is, not because of who we are. Sin is the problem. And the solution to sin is not to impose an ever stricter code of behavior, make new rules, establish more laws, offer more restrictions, restrict our freedom or whatever. It is to know God as your personal Savior. It is to understand God's forgiveness. It is to know God so intensely that he permeates everything that you say. It's to understand that forgiveness that he gives. It's to be in communion with God and his love. So we have the questions that haunt us. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have the answers in the sermon. But there are questions that haunt us. Does grace offer a license of something of a free pass through this ethical maze of life? Is it a free pass? Another question that really makes me think. If grace is so amazing, why don't Christians show more of it? I'm guilty as charged. What or how does a grace-filled Christian life look? Then we switch thoughts. Isn't the whole idea of grace unfair? Or we could ask, is anyone beyond the concept of grace? And then why should we be good if you know in advance that grace will allow you to be forgiven? I had a pastor friend that I really disagreed with. He was a youth pastor. Told his kids it was okay if they sinned on the weekend as long as they always came back every Sunday to get forgiven. And I'm going, no, I don't think so. Doesn't work that way. But some kids were buying into that. We love the song, Amazing Grace. Thank you, Leanne, for the original version. Look at those words. Listen to these words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. When we've been here for 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. May we never just rotely sing that. We have heard it hundreds, if not thousands, of times. The song has endured since the 1700s, written by a man named John Newton, who was not only a minister, but also a man who was involved with the slave trade, trading ships of that era. It is known by everyone, even today, and is still very much a hymn of all Christian services. I can't even imagine or think of how many times do we sing that during the year. We sing it over and over, but do you listen to the words? Do you listen to the words? So, grace. I would say that we live in a world of ungrace. What does it mean? It means a world of no grace. In many ways, the concept of grace is scandalous. If you think about it, it defines all boundaries of fairness. It's not about justice or an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Grace is an attribute that covers evil. We often feel that God's grace is unfair. I'm sure that you could think of many, many stories, and I debated whether I was going to talk about some of the stories, of, well, he deserved that. And he became a Christian before he died. How does he deserve that? He lived, or she lived, their whole life making fun of Christ, not living for him. But, man, what a big God we have. And who are we to say who gets to go to heaven or not? It's often scandalous. Thing that rings to me true of some of you people, the Jeffrey Dahmers of the world, if you remember that name. Evil man. But he came to Christ while in prison and died a Christian. Forgiven. Forgiven. Man, I'm glad I'm not God. I'd be a tough judge. I would be a tough judge. Because grace is forgiveness. A knowledge that God loves not only me, not only you, but everyone. The miracle of forgiveness is what grace consumes. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He came for everyone. You, me, everyone. And that makes grace shockingly personal. We all have our stories. I've heard people in this congregation said, "Oh, if you knew the stories of when I was younger." I have stories. We all have our sin. But all of us who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord, are able to receive this gift of grace. There are three points we can make thinking about how amazing grace actually is. First one, forgiveness doesn't start with us. We all know the human race needs forgiveness if we are to break the chains of ungrace. Some days I feel like I could say that's more now than ever. God's forgiveness was witnessed in the cross. The cross changed everything. It proclaimed that we are not under law anymore, but grace. We are under grace. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." Forgiveness really does start with God. And in Colossians, it backs it with, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins." Forgiveness is a sin. Or forgiveness is a gift, is what I wanted to say. It's a gift. And what a gift. You cannot earn it. You cannot qualify it. You can't do much of anything except receive it. You can only receive it. A second thing is, we're not sinful saints. Now this sounds kind of strange. Honesty in our lives needs to be a prevalent value. We need to confess our sins, even when we have been saved. A story that I like to tell. My brother is an alcoholic. He endured and experienced many drunken moments that nearly destroyed his life, and a few times, even my life. We had some fierce arguments, but he was an alcoholic. And it wasn't until that day I sat in court thinking whether my brother was going to be sent to prison or not that I understood what grace was. Through rehab and an organization called Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm sure you've heard it, and their 12-step principles, I'm sure you've heard of those too. With God's help, he was saved from this addiction. Now, he does still have it. But AA promotes the idea of radical honesty and utter dependence on God. At every meeting, they declare that I am an alcoholic. And then they tell their story. It's interesting. This has been years now. My brother still attends AA meetings. He still attends them. He's in Indiana right now, which is a rare occasion in itself. But he has attended AA meetings throughout the world, everywhere, regularly. And he goes into those meetings and say, "I am an alcoholic." And then he tells his story. However, you want to know how amazing grace is? He has been dry for over 30 years. And he thanks God for his deliverance from alcoholism. God's still in the business of miracles. And it was pretty cool. He had his 30-year coin or something they give them. And it has strengthened his faith in God too. I used to think my brother was a lost cause. But now, I feel he's going to be in heaven with me. So, we are to be receptive to God's grace because we are all sinful and impure. We can give God credit because he turns sinners into saints. As the song says, I once was lost, but now I am found. He thought we were lost or blind. God found us. When you came to Jesus, you get a new nature, and it's his nature. However, Jesus was not a sinner. I'm not denying the reality of our imperfections. I'm declaring a faith in a higher reality, which is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible challenges us to grow in the grace and knowledge of him. Real maturity comes from knowing Jesus and appreciating what he has accomplished on your behalf. May we appreciate this word in Scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. We praise God for his grace. We are new people. So my question to you is, do you know what's new about you because of Christ? Do you know what's new? The third thing, and this is what I think we all struggle with, is that trying harder is not the secret to the Christian life. Trying harder is not the secret. Sometimes we exhaust ourselves and take ourselves to deep, dark places in our efforts to live a Christian life. We forget that it's what Christ has done in our lives, not what we do. Forgiveness is hard. Grace is free because it is powered by the Spirit that we talked about. Whereas, we often try forgiveness on our own strength. Actually, it's a choice we can make. You can try, or you can trust. Perhaps you achieve success, some successes in your own strength. But how will this help when your life hands you an impossible challenge? How will you forgive the unforgivable? Many things happen in our world this week that are unforgivable and sad. How can we forgive that? How do you love your enemies and those who spitefully use you? We must know that we will not in reality be able to solve these life questions. We can try, but we probably won't. We should not pretend to be perfect. That's hypocrisy. Far better to repent and resolve to do better next time. But be careful. This also leads sometimes to a yo-yo Christianity, where you're up and down. One day you're up, the next day you're down. You'll be up one day, down the next. There's a reason that doesn't work. It's a flesh trip. And God won't bless it. We always need to pray first, then just let God work. The Christian life is not just hard. It's nearly impossible until you find the freedom of grace. No one can live the Christian life except Christ, although we all should strive for it. The key to succeeding is not to try harder, but to see yourself as crucified with Christ. Sometimes the best thing you can say is, Lord, I just can't do it. I need you to. When we really understand grace, it takes the pressure off. We don't live by our effort and our trying, but we live with God. So wonderful. Now, after you accepted him as your personal Savior, stand aside and watch him work through you. What is the secret to living the Christian life? Well, Paul tells us, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. From Galatians. Grace truly is amazing. God forgives us even before we have forgiven others. He makes us new, and he empowers us to reign in life supernaturally. God's grace is available to us at all times for every problem and everything that we face. God's grace frees us from slavery to sin, guilt, and shame. God's grace allows us to pursue good works. God's grace is given in abundance. God's grace enables us to be all that God intends us to be. God's grace is amazing indeed. So what were those questions? Again, I tell you, I don't have the answers. But does grace offer a license to sort or a free pass to the ethical maze of grace, of life? Personally, I don't think so. But we need to live under grace. If grace is so amazing, why don't Christians show more of it? I always cringe when I see something on TV that shows that Christians aren't living under grace. I'm thinking, you're talking about me. We should show it. What or how does a grace-filled Christian life look? It's just us accepting Christ on a daily basis and him living in us. Isn't the whole idea of grace unfair? In our politically correct world, I don't know. It's tough. Is anyone beyond the concept of grace? And this I struggle with. Because I know in my heart and intellectually that no one is beyond the concept of grace. Even the most evil person we've ever met. But God loves them. And why should we be good if we're all going to be forgiven? Well, I could talk and do a whole nother sermon on that. Because the change in our heart, the way our life is, because of that. Well, let me close with this passage from Ephesians 2:8 as translated by a Bible translation called The Voice. For it is by God's grace that you have been saved. You receive it through faith. It was not our plan or our effort. It is God's gift, pure and simple. You didn't earn it. Not one of us did. So don't go around bragging that you must have done something amazing. Because we haven't. It's God's grace that is amazing. It's God's gift to us. His amazing grace.